Well, if you take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to back to the book of Philippians, where we left off before our Christmas season. Philippians chapter 3, where we are today. And I would, I probably say this multiple times, but every week when we get into God's Word together, I just, for some reason, feel like it's the most important Word God has spoken to us. And He's, this week has been a week of just preparing for today's message, because I feel like it's the crux of our Christian walk, our Christian life. If we could get this part of Scripture down, I think the rest of it would fall in place fairly easily. And I've entitled today's message, Seeing Life or Viewing Life from God's Perspective. See, because it really doesn't matter how we look at it. It matters how God looks at it. And as Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, he was trying to relay to them how important it is for us to see things the way God sees them. Many years ago, I heard a teacher sharing his understanding of what the word wisdom means. And in Scripture tells us that we ought to seek wisdom above everything else. He said wisdom is literally seeing things from God's perspective. Because if we saw things from God's perspective, we'd truly be wise. Right? This is really a call for us to see things like God wants us to see them. So let's begin reading today, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, not that I've already obtained all of this. Now let me stop just for a moment and go back to verse 11, 10 and 11 and tell you what he's saying. I want to know Christ, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, and becoming like Him even in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. So just after he said this, he says, not that I've already obtained all this, or that I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind, and I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Father, I come to you today, and I just ask again that your word will come alive to us. I pray that you'll speak to each one of us, including myself. Again, Lord, this week it's just been a preparation of hearing you, Lord, and wanting to know what it is you're saying to me personally, and what it is you're saying to our church, and what it is you're saying to Christians all around, Father, who in this time, Lord, we see a world that's spinning out of control. Or at least it seems that way, and yet we remember that you are in control and that you have wisdom for us to see, even in the midst of these times. And I pray, Father, you'll speak that wisdom to us today, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to see, first of all, this morning in verses 12 and the first part of verse 13, viewing the past from God's perspective. You see, if we want to see things from God's perspective, we got to be able to see the past, the present, and the future, right? Well, Paul was looking back, and he had just, as I read the first two verses, 10 and 11, he says, you know, I consider, and in fact, all the way back a few verses before that, all the way back to verse 4, he's saying, you know, if anybody could put confidence in the flesh, I could. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee, persecuting the church, legalistic in righteousness. But whatever was to my profit, at least what I thought was to my profit back then, I now consider for loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Now, viewing the past from God's perspective, one of the things that jumps out to me is, don't be defeated by your past. Amen. You know what, folks? There are so many of us that live with regrets and live in the past and live in all the failures that we've had in our life that we put a stop on what God wants us to do because we can't get past those things. Those regrets, the mistakes, can weigh you down and literally control you if you allow them to. I've had friends in my life, friends in the church, I've had friends in the ministry, I've had just numbers of people who struggled because they couldn't forgive themselves of things that they'd done in the past. When we can't forgive ourselves, what we're doing is limiting God. And we're saying, God, even though you forgive us, we can't forgive ourselves. Does that put us in a higher place than God? You see, if you ask Christ for forgiveness of your sins, that's exactly what you get. And we've got to move forward. Paul's saying, listen, you know, as far as religion was concerned, I was at the highest, but I realized all those things were terrible. Because I persecuted the church. All those things were horrible. But he's not staying there. I mean, if he stayed there, we wouldn't have these scriptures to read through. We wouldn't have a person who'd gone forward and shared with so many other churches the victory that there is in Christ. I believe one of the reasons that people are so defeated by the past is they listen to the one who whispers that defeat into their ears. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 12 talks about this person. That person is the accuser of the brethren. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of the Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Now listen, folks. That's exactly what Satan wants to do. Is he wants to accuse you. He wants to remind you of how terrible you were and maybe are. But the fact is this, folks, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, every single sin was removed from you. The sins in the past that you're still dealing with, the sins that you may commit today, the sins that you might commit tomorrow, they are all under the blood of Jesus Christ, and they are removed. They are removed. Don't be defeated by your past. When you allow the past to control you, to mark you, then what you're doing is you're giving in to the accuser of the brethren. Secondly, don't, as Paul says, forgetting what is behind. He says, listen, I don't think about that stuff anymore. One of the interesting things that I think about is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when it's talking about true love, what real love is about. One of the things that it comments on as Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he says, keeping no records of wrongs. You see, if you really love somebody, you're not going to keep bringing up stuff from the past and throwing it back at them. That's not love. And in the same way, Paul says, I've forgotten about that stuff. I've forgotten about the fact that I used to go after the church instead of build the church. I've forgotten about standing there and watching them put people to death who claimed that they were followers of Jesus. I'm forgetting about that stuff because if I allow that stuff to control me, I will not be doing what God is calling me to do. Forgetting what is behind. The word for forgetting is ephatomai, which means given over those thoughts to oblivion, never to think about them. How often do you lay in bed at night thinking about things that you've done? Maybe even that day, and you're just going over and over in your mind, and why did I do this? Why did I say that? Why did I act like this? And it just feels like it just overcomes you. You know why? Because it overcomes you. You allow it to do so. Paul says, no, not anymore. I've been forgiven. I've been made clean. I've been made whole. I'm not going to allow myself to stay in the place where the accuser can continue to accuse me, because I have a Savior who's forgiven me. He's forgiven me. And in fact, in Psalm chapter 103, verse 12, it says it like this: as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. So if they are not there anymore, according to God's Word, and we start bringing them up, what are we doing? We're taking precedence over what God has already done for us. We've got to move forward. We've got to forget what is behind. Somebody told me one time, you just got to be a good forgetter. I don't know if that's good English, but be a good forgetter. You just forget about that stuff because it's covered. It's covered by the blood. I like this little quote that I put in here and encircled it. The past is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Listen, folks. God's given you today. You can't do anything about yesterday. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. But today is today, the day that the Lord has made. We are going to what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. Jeremiah 31:34 says it like this: no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. That's the picture that I want in my life. That's the picture I want in this community and in this country and in this world. Too many of us are looking at the door that closed behind us that we can't see the one that God has opened in front of us. Isn't that true? We cannot be defeated by our past. We've got to forget what is behind. And don't rely on the past successes that you've had. What I mean by this is people who come alongside of you and go, oh man, you've done enough. You just take it, you take it easy. You don't have to do anything else. Since when? When is there a point in your life where you've reached a Christian plateau and that's all you have to do? No, I mean, we are going full force, as Paul says. I'm running the race with perseverance. And I'm keeping my eyes on the finish line. The author, perfecter of my faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Man, we cannot slow down. We cannot take it easy. We cannot sit back and let somebody else do it. Let the younger ones do it. Hey, folks, if we don't have any younger ones, how are they going to do it? Or you might have heard somebody say, oh, I put in my times. It's somebody else's turn. No, we don't take turns in being Christians. We don't take turns in serving Christ. Either God called you and saved you and commissioned you, or He didn't. God gave us a picture of that back in when He started providing manna for the people out in the desert. And you recall, He'd provide just enough manna for them for the day. But they started being like people. Oh, I'm going to get extra. And I'm going to save it up for tomorrow, so tomorrow I'll have more to eat. Isn't that just like us? You know, when you go to the store, you go, oh, you know, I need this and this and this. Boy, I better get some extra of that, and mom, I get some more of this. And you know, it's just like, but he says, no, you get, don't just do what is for, you don't even know that you're going to have tomorrow. Just for today. And when they tried to store it up, what happened? It went bad. It went real bad. And all kinds of worms and all kinds of junk showed up in it. And that's a picture for us. We can't rely on the past. You can't hold on to yesterday's good things. They will spoil. I'm often encouraged by Joshua and Caleb, specifically by Caleb, who, as a 80-year-old man, looked at the big mountain where all the giants lived and says, give me that mountain. Yeah. I'm not giving up. I mean, God's not through with you until he's through with you. And when he's through with you, you won't be here. You'll be with him. So let's don't view, you know, the past in our perspective. Let's view it from God's perspective. He took you through certain things, taught you certain things, brought you to certain places in your life for a reason. But let's don't linger in the past. Let's move forward. Secondly, this morning, viewing the present from God's perspective. Look at what it says in the second part of verse 13. But one thing I do, I forget what behind, and I strain toward what is ahead. You see, we're not there yet. Now, all of you who are parents have had kids ask you, are we there yet? Right? Are we there yet? We're never there yet, it seems like. You know, it's going to take forever to get there. But look at how verse 12 puts it. I haven't already obtained it all. I've not already been made perfect, but I'm what? Pressing on, take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You see, I haven't arrived yet, Paul says, but I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep going forward. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on my the author, perfecter of my faith. I'm going to keep my eyes on the finish line. Listen, folks, if you stumble, remember, you're just not there yet. And you can stumble and stay on the ground if you like. Or you can pick yourself up and continue to go forward. Amen. With the power that God has given you. Amen. I think of those great stories that you see of people they've stumbled and they've fallen, but they've gotten back up and they've continued on. One of the vivid pictures in my mind was of an Olympic event where this marathoner had come into the stadium after running 26 miles, and they finish up the last 0.2 miles inside the stadium and crossed the finish line. And he was so spent that about 100 yards before the finish line, he collapsed on the track. And one of the fellow runners stopped, helped him up, and helped him across the finish line. You know what, folks? We got to keep pressing on. We got to keep going forward. Don't give up. You see, it's too easy to quit. And most people do. You might say, Pastor, what do you mean by most people? That's what I mean. Because think about it. I was thinking about this week. How many people I've seen come to know the Lord, join the church, you know, committed that they would follow Christ the rest of their lives, and now they're nowhere to be found. Why is that? Did we do something wrong? Well, we probably could have helped more. But the fact is it's too easy to give up. It's too easy to quit. Paul says, I press on. The word is epikamenos, which means to lie upon or fall upon the altar or to pursue God. Literally what he's saying is this. I'm not holding anything back. I'm giving it all for him. I'm giving everything for him. You know, and he can take it and use it for whatever he wants to use, but here I am, Lord. Here I am. You remember Isaiah when he saw God? In the fullness of the temple was flooded with the Lord's presence. And the Lord says, who will I send and who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am. We got to press on. We got to give it all. We've got what I call totally sacrifice. Not holding anything back. Paul says that's how we've got to live today. Forget about yesterday. Live today with full sacrifice. And what? How do we live the future? By viewing the prize that God has in store for us. Look at what he says in verse 14. He says, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Our great reward, the prize. The Greek word here is barbion, which means the award that is given to the victor. Now, I just got to tell you one of my little pet peeves. It may make somebody mad or whatever. But we've gotten to a point in our society where everybody who comes and tries to run the race, or what, they all get a prize. They all get a ribbon. It's called a participation ribbon. You know, we want to make them feel good that they participated. Great. I think you need to give something to the winner. Because obviously, they've worked hard to get there. And if you start making everybody feel like they've worked hard, even though they didn't work hard, that's a soapbox I'm going to get off of right now. But the fact is that God wants us to win the prize.
The prize. Amen. The prize.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Oh, you're teaching kids to be too competitive. Wait a minute. What's wrong with being competitive? Trying to do your best. No, we want everybody to just be mediocre. No. God's called us to go out, all out. Our prize will be awarded by the greatest judge of all, Jesus. You know, if you can't do your best for him, who are you going to do your best for? Paul, as he was writing to the church at Rome in chapter 14, verse 10, says this, you then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand where? Before God's judgment seat. Every single one of us will have to give an account before God. And by the way, the judgment seat, the bema seat, or the bamate, as it is in Greek, the places where the Olympic judges gave out the prizes. You see, God's going to give out prizes. Did you know that? Crowns. He will give out crowns, not so you can put it on your head and say, hey, I'm king. What do you do with that? You turn around and put it at the feet of Jesus. Because he is worth everything. See, we got to view the prize. It's our great reward. It's also given by our great rewarder, Jesus himself. Now, there are times when we receive things from other people and we really appreciate it. But to stand before Jesus and
have him look you straight in the eye and say to you, well done. How's that going to go? I just can't imagine how awesome that's going to be. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Paul says, that's my great reward. I want to hear Jesus say, well done. What a glorious day that will be for all who are following Christ. I forget what's behind. I live today like it's the last day I'll have. And I view, by keeping my eyes on the prize, I view the future. Lastly this morning, viewing the perfecting of our faith. Look at how Paul puts it in verse 15. He says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. In other words, seeing things from God's perspective, that's what all this is about. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. In other words, we need to mature in Him. You see, we can't just say, Lord, I want to follow you with the rest of my life and then just do whatever we want to after that. Because what we say and what we do doesn't match up, right? And so God says, no, listen, if you're going to follow me, this is what you need to do. You keep your eyes fixed on me. You look towards the end, to the finish line. You just keep going. You don't look backwards. You continually mature in Him. In fact, James puts it this way, and I love how James writes because he just gets straight to the point. He says, consider it pure joy. Pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't always go, wow, this is so joyful going through this. I don't. I mean, that's honest, being honest. But he says, consider it joy when you go through these trials of many kinds because you know that the testing of your faith does what? Produces perseverance. And so then you can let that perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, Paul already understood this. I mean, could you imagine if Paul had given up when they took him outside the city and stoned him and left him for dead? He could have said, God, I tried, but I ain't going through this anymore. If he'd have done that, we wouldn't have these words today. How many of us have probably given up at some point in our life trying to do what we thought was right to do? We've got to remember that even the struggles and trials are there to help us mature. And remember this, He is our completer. We can't complete ourselves. If we can complete ourselves, we don't need Him, right? He is our completer. No one on this earth can complete themselves. No one on this earth has the capability or possibility to be able to do that. If they try, they'll fail. Or they'll be disappointed. But you know what? God will never disappoint. He will never let you down. He will always encourage you and strengthen you. We are made mature in Him, and we are made mature by Him. You remember we went through this a few weeks ago in chapter 2 of Philippians. It is God who works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure, His good purpose in you. You see, when you allow yourself to be used by God, and when you begin to view things from His perspective, and you step out of the way and allow Him to come and dwell in you and live through you by His Holy Spirit, you will begin to see Him do things that you could never do. You will begin to see Him say things through you that you would have never said. You'll begin to understand things from God's Word that never made sense in the past. Remember that God is always at work in you and He's always at work around you. God didn't take a day off, by the way. He didn't get a labor day. He didn't get a day off. God is always at work. He's in absolute control. And He's always working in you and in every person around you. Too many people give up moments before they would have reached the victory. Story after story have been written about people who decided that they would try to accomplish something, but they gave up just a little bit too early, and they never did. Paul says, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to focus on what's behind me. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep on pressing forward. I'm going to keep going. We have to keep on. We cannot quit. We cannot give up. We cannot say, oh, you know what? Let somebody else do it. Somebody else isn't doing it. If somebody else could do it, they'd be doing it. God has called you and God has called me to share the most amazing thing, His complete forgiveness and love to people all around us. We focused this past year on the love of God. And I tried to allow God to encourage me so that I could encourage you every single day with a message of love. But I believe that God is now saying, because I am the God of love, I want to use you. And the way I'm going to use you is because I'm Lord. And if we allow God to be Lord of our lives, that means in every area, every area, every area of our lives, then He will use us to the full. He doesn't want to be Lord just over certain areas of your life and my life. He wants to be Lord of all. And He deserves to be Lord of all. Listen, folks, the prize is great. And the giver of the prize is greater. There's no doubt about it, folks, that Paul knew how to encourage the church at Philippi. And he knows how to encourage us today by the leading of the Holy Spirit and simply saying this: forget what's behind, look forward to what's ahead, and press on towards the mark that Christ has set for us. We got to forget about the past. There's probably people that have hurt you or harmed you or done things to you or upset you or whatever else, and you still hold that in your heart. Folks, what good is that doing? It's taking up room in your heart. You need to get rid of it. We need to get rid of that stuff so that we can look forward to what God wants to do in our midst. That's not just a church-wide thing. That's a personal thing as well. Every single one of us needs to understand, it's not about what's behind me. I'm looking forward to what God has in store. And folks, what He has in store is going to be better than anything else that we could come up with. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning that You are encouraging us to forget about the things that are behind us, but to keep pressing on towards You, towards the likeness of Christ, towards the knowledge of and the wisdom and the goodness of Jesus. Lord, there's so many things that control our thoughts each day that we allow to take our minds off of You, to allow us to get sidetracked. And in fact, there's many times that we're doing good things when we should be doing the best thing. And it's because we took a variance. We got our eyes off of where they needed to be. And we got sidetracked. And before long, we realized that we're quite a ways away from where we should be. Lord, I pray that we'll get back on track with You, Lord. That we truly will not only call You Lord, but serve You as Lord. Because we can say Lord and not mean it. The proof is in the pudding. Lord, I pray that we will truly follow You with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with our strength.
In every way, Father, we will serve you and we will follow you. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's anyone who's here today or anyone who's listening in today, and they've not yet accepted you as their Savior and Lord, that this would be the day. The very first Sunday in the year 2021, what a great day to be a reminder of a new life given over to the Lordship of Christ. You might say, well, how do I do that? Exactly how the Scripture says, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God knows your heart. Right now, he knows exactly what you're thinking of. Maybe you're here today and you realize that you do look backward way too much. And I notice in my own life, when I'm looking backward, I can trip over things I'm supposed to be going over. Yeah. Lord, I just pray that we'll now focus our eyes on you and on the future that you have for us and on the purposes that you have for us and the goals that you've set before us. And Lord, I pray that we will run the race with perseverance and that we will not look to the left or to the right, but you will encourage us to walk towards you. This morning we're going to have a time of invitation, simply meaning this: we invite you to follow Christ. If you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step. It's called salvation. It means giving up so that you can gain everything. It means taking the forgiveness of sin from Jesus Christ and allowing him to apply it to your life. Would you be willing to do that today? Maybe you're here today and you know that God is joining your heart with us to try to reach the community around us and beyond. We'd love to have you be a part of this church, but we're not going to ask people to join our church just so we can have people's names on the roll. Names on the roll don't mean anything. People here working, serving, reaching out, touching people means everything. But we'd love to have you if God is calling you to be a part of this place. Maybe you're here today and you realize that many years ago you trusted him for your salvation, but you haven't gone forward with him. Maybe you'd like to rededicate your life to his service, forgetting about what's behind, looking forward to the things that are ahead. God wants to use you. He's forgiven you. He's cleansed you. He's made you whole. You are his child. He will never leave you or forsake you. Whatever it is that God's speaking to you this morning, Brother Tom's going to lead us through a hymn of invitation. If God's speaking to you, I'll be down front. If anybody'd like to come and pray, maybe you're just wanting to kneel at the altar and pray today, it's open. We'd love to have you do that as well. Whatever God's saying, would you do it this morning? Let's stand and let's have this time of invitation.